Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Hey.
How would you assess what the group has done so far?
We are where we at, right? We're in the mix of making it to the playoffs. We have a good baseball team that can do a lot of good things. There's other stuff that we have to get better, but at the same time, very pleased with the way we went about our business in the first part of the season and the way some guys progress. And we're going to keep working hard to make them better. And we're going to keep playing good baseball. I truly believe there's going to be meaningful games here in September.
Welcome into the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Scheim and Garvin with you this morning. That was Alex Cora yesterday. Sox also got smacked around yesterday, 9-2.
Oh, and Xander Bogaerts tonight.
Tough day for the return of Xander Bogaerts to Fenway for the Red Sox.
Oh, it wasn't tough for him. His team won.
True. Tough for the Red Sox, I should say. They go again with the Padres today. First pitch for that one is at 4:10. So, Ryan,
it's Alex baseball Cora. Season, Scheim.
Yeah, look, last week I was excited. I was like, ooh, this team's actually kind of good. I was surprised. Let's not say excited. I was surprised because prior to the season, I had made a wager with someone that they wouldn't even win 76 games.
Oh.
And at this point, I'm like, oh,
Christopher.
Oh, they can do that. This team is fun. Yeah. I enjoy this team. But after the things I'm hearing coming from the manager of the Red Sox and then the front office of the Red Sox, I'm not all that confident in the fact that the Red Sox might actually be playing meaningful games in September.
Stop it. No. AC just said I truly believe we will be playing meaningful games in September. What is shaking your confidence? I don't like this.
Let me see. So Alex Cora this week, we'll play some of the audio over the course of the show today, but there was a few things Alex Cora said. Craig Breslow, I will use the term uncommittal. Something along those lines.
Uncommittal
to the idea of Alex Cora being here for a long period of time.
Yeah.
To the idea of, I don't know, making any moves at the trade deadline. It's frustrating because there are pieces to this team that are excelling. You look at guys like Tanner Houck. You look at guys like Jarren Duran. You look at even Rafael Devers is having a pretty good year. Like, overall, you have some guys that are popping. And then there are some parts of the lineup that aren't popping so much and could use a little help. And yet, here we stand on June 29th, almost exactly a month away from the baseball trade deadline. And Ryan, are you at all confident that the Boston Red Sox will make any sort of additions at the trade deadline? Or will they simply deal away some of these guys on one-year deals or ends of contracts and send them on their way?
I have been thinking about it really is my Roman Empire. I have been thinking about the Red Sox trade deadline basically every day since the NBA Finals began, because I knew we were going to be getting to this point. And I, like you, at the beginning of the year, thought, you know what? This team is probably not going to be very good. 77 wins was your wager?
Over 76 and a half.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be that bad. And I think there was a healthy portion of the fan base that thought they were going to be like White Sox bad. And I'm like, you don't have those kinds of problems. You don't have Oakland A's problems. You definitely don't have Chicago White Sox problems. As far as the trade deadline, this is a team that within the last couple of years has had opportunities to add to a team that could be competitive, not necessarily win a World Series, but they absolutely could have played meaningful games in September, had a loud, fun environment in October.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, 2021 is still talked about by players current and ex.
Yep,
and I do mean Xander Bogaerts, but I have heard multiple players in the last couple weeks. I've heard Alex Cora talk about the environment in 2021. Well, guess what you needed in 2021? You needed a first baseman, because statistically you had the worst first base platoon in baseball by far. It was not even close. So what did they do? We give you Kyle Schwarber. How about what? Kyle Schwarber's on a first baseman. He plays outfield. That, figure it out. Turns out they went pretty deep, but did not bring back Kyle Schwarber. You can even look to the trade deadline 2 years ago, 2022. Again, fun, interesting team. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. You still got J.D. Martinez. You still have Nathan Eovaldi. Chris Sale, I think, was going to make his umpteenth return from the injured list. That was our big trade deadline acquisition.
Was that the bike incident or the punching the TV incident?
No. The bike incident. TV incident was while he was rehabbing.
Of course.
That's
quality
sports talk summertime radio and the ballyhoo that surrounded that event.
Classic Chris Sale, who, by the way, is dominating in Atlanta.
The most predictable thing was that Chris Sale was going to have a good year when he was healthy. But you look at the 2022 team and you're going, all right, again, a lot of similar positions of need as far as starting pitching, a right-handed bat that's going to provide some pop in the lineup. And instead they go, well, you know, we don't really think investing in this long-term is going to be the smartest move. So Christian Vasquez, you're gone. Everybody likes you. You generally perform well in September. You're defensively one of the better catchers, and you're starting to hit for some power, but we're trading you in a very awkward moment. We're going to have you take questions in Houston while we're trading you to Houston. I think they also moved on from Jake Diekman that year. Point is, you needed help. And instead of getting help in the immediate, they turned around and turned Christian Vasquez into Willier Abreu, who I like, and Manuel Valdez, who I could take or leave, more leave at this point. And then flipped a couple more guys to get, like, it was like Justin Hageman and Nick Robertson. That was last year because Kike Hernandez wasn't working out. Chaim, it's a really roundabout way of saying their trade deadline will probably happen like this. They're going to take some guys who are not part of the plan long term, and they are going to flip them for maybe a 4A arm just to spell of the guys that are happening here, and then maybe get a AAA piece.
So you're telling me they're not going to get Pete Alonso?
No, I don't think they're going to get Pete Alonso. No, I don't think they're going to get Vlad Guerrero Jr., who, I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays are ripe for the picking right now. They're a team that you could absolutely go in and start poaching talent from. But that is not what is important to this team. Spending money, not important to this team. Showing the fan base that you could actually sustain something fun in the late summer, early fall months is not the plan for this team.
Which is frustrating because, like, especially at the trade deadline, right, you're not asking them to make a commitment to a player for like 10 years, $350 million. No. A lot of the times, especially at the MLB trade deadline, it is a 1 year, or at this point, 4 month commitment. That's it. Like, it's just go out, make a deal, get a guy who's on the expiring contract that's really good, that's probably going to go get a massive contract in the offseason. And if you decide you don't want to pay him, that's fine. But he could help you, I don't know, play good games here into October. Maybe win a round of the playoffs. Who knows? Like, because of the fact that you had a rain out and then a day off, you're now a game and a half back in that third wild card for that third wild card spot. But, like, you're right there. You are as good, if not better, than the Kansas City Royals when you're playing at your best. Like, you can beat that team down the stretch here. Unfortunately, though, you're gonna need a little bit of help to do that. Probably you're gonna need another bat. You're probably gonna need a little bit more depth when it comes to pitching.
And by the way, there is a little bit of gap between the Red Sox and the next team. The Rays are four back while the Sox are a game and a half back. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there.
Yeah, so you find yourself in a good spot, but like it's so frustrating to me that this team finds no interest in making any kind of moves. And we're not, like, even Bradford, I think, came out on your show and said, like, the locker room, he wanted to say the word, the locker room is starving for a player. Corrected himself, and he's like, but they really want a guy. And it doesn't even need to be a big splash. It doesn't need to be a Pete Alonso. It doesn't need to be a Vlad Guerrero. It just needs to be, it needs to be a sign of faith, right?
Science. Like,
a sign from the front office, like, hey, we believe you guys are pretty good. Here's a little bit of help. Nothing crazy. Nothing, you know, ridiculous. It's just, like, I feel like we're asking for, you know, the scraps you're about to throw in the trash, and you're like, No, sir. Even though you're starving, I won't give them to you.
I can't remember exactly where they were last year at the trade deadline, but, oh, was it Seattle? I can't recall off the top of my head, but again, it was the same thing. It got so loud. And guys, like Rafael Devers is never historically been a guy that is going to sit there and make headlines.
And he specifically was like, yeah, we need pitching
and,
help, please.
And him and Kenley Jansen, who will go out there and say what he feels, were both saying the same thing.
Yeah, like, they were in Seattle and their record was 56-50.
Okay, so they were in Seattle going, we need pitching, we need pitching. And Chaim Bloom basically sat there and talked about, you know, what John Henry told the Financial Times. It's like, well, the odds really aren't in our favor. And Fangraphs this and Fangraphs that. And I think the rumor was like, oh, Colton Wong is about to get waived. So since we're here, I'll rummage through your garbage can and take this guy. And they didn't land him. And I think ended up signing... Luis Urias, I think. Not Ramon, the good Urias that plays for Baltimore. You got Luis Urias off the scrap heap from the Brewers, and he went, ta-da! See, you guys asked
you
for
go.
Help. I found you
and,
help.
And once again,
get
they'll be like,
excited, Red Sox
they'll fans. Tell you, oh, you know, the moves for us are Tristan Casas coming back from the IL. Like, those aren't additions.
No.
They're already on your roster.
No, you have those
he's
guys.
Just injured. Like,
understanding
he's going to come
that
back
in. We're
anyways.
Underdogs this year, right now, where we are.
Oh, my God. It's just.
They
I'm
play,
getting to the point yeah. where it's like, all I want to do is root for this baseball team. I love the manager. I love a lot of the players. I think they're fun. I think they have a cool attitude. I think they're good, or at least pretty good. And then people like Craig Breslow come out and say things that are just word salad. Sam Kennedy, Craig Breslow, throw crap at us like we're idiots. And won't just tell us what their plan is. And won't give us anything. Which indicates to us, they're not going to do anything.
One of the
and
most...
it makes me so angry.
I think it's kind of up to us to run our own race.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, Ryan. I hate this front office. I hate the management in a way that makes me bubble with anger. And yet I love this team. I don't know how to handle this.
It's I have liked some of the moves that Craig Breslow has made when he got in. There was almost like this very focused effort to get rid of a lot of the guys that Chaim Bloom brought in. Like, he's like, okay, you know what? Verdugo, you're out. The guys in the Kike Hernandez trade, like, he turned one of them, I think, into Tyler O'Neill, who, again, is a move that, good.
Hitting dingers, let's
you
go.
You need a right-handed bat to break up the 100,000 lefties that make this lineup every day. I like Tyler O'Neill. I think when he's healthy, yeah, he's a guy that's probably going to hit 25 home runs and play decent outfield for you. When it comes to Craig Breslow, though, probably the most troubling thing, and he phrased it a little better than Chaim Bloom ever did. And by the way, as the days go on, I start to hold like less resentment for Chaim Bloom, because a lot of his issues, I think, were caused by ownership. Not the whole, as far as what I've heard about him and how he is received by other general managers around the league as far as being tough to work with on trades. That was his own fault. The idea that the phone would ring and they go, oh, Jesus, it's Chaim again, and this is not, we're just going to waste time here because he's not going to want to move on from anything. That was his own doing. But as far as the narrative of, and again, this is what I heard Craig Breslow say when he started that made me go, oh, God, no, is the whole idea that they're not going to sacrifice wins in the present for wins in the future. And that is what I think inevitably Chaim is going to happen with this trade deadline. I think their idea, I will spell out what I think the Red Sox would like to happen in the trade deadline is they kind of continue on this pace right now where they're, you know, not necessarily gaining ground in the standings in the wild card. And I think ideally the first thing that they would like to do is probably find a taker for Masataka Yoshida's contract.
Yep.
Because I think they can go, all right, we can sell our fan base on Jaren Duran. See, look, he's an all-star. By the way, didn't get voted in, fans.
Nope.
If you want any idea of like, oh, your fans investing in this team?
Nope.
No. Because you know who ended up getting voted in? Kyle
Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker has been hurt almost the entire season. He's not playing. He got voted in because Houston Astros fans give a damn way more about their baseball team than the freaking Red Sox fans do. So you got an outfield that you can sell they can do their Zoom calls and go, oh, the future, Sidon Rafaela, Willy Abreu, they're pretty good, right? And guess what? They don't cost us a lot of money, so we really like them too. You don't want a $16 million designated hitter that is taking up a spot in your lineup. I think they would love to find a taker for Masataki Yoshida, which means they would eat money on that contract. Second of all, and we saw him last night, and I do like him. I think he's very important to this whole rotation going forward, and that's Nick Pivetta. I think Nick Pivetta, when he's starting and he's motivated, he's kind of got that crazy in him like Chris Sale does,
yeah.
And he's fun to watch when he's pitching. I think he couldn't locate his sweeper last night. It was just as simple as that. But I think they could look at him and go, all right, he's 31. He's got a contract coming up. You know, maybe if we flip him, and I don't want them to move on from Nick Pivetta. I think he works in this city. But I think they can look at him and go, oh, we could probably get, you know, a second or a third pitcher that we can stash in AAA, maybe two guys, maybe another young positional player.
Stop stashing players.
That I think is going to be what they do. We're going to be talking about buying and selling a lot in the next month or so. And I made this point to Jones and Mego, and I never really expounded upon it on the air because they think, oh, they're going to buy. They're going to buy. It'd be unconscionable to sell. Think about it like this. By doing nothing, they are selling. They're selling the hope of any player in that dugout to go, okay, they believe in this whole goal long term. And more importantly, you are selling any opportunity to retain Alex Cora. I am all but certain he is done after this year in this city, but you are basically locking that up if you do not do anything to assist this baseball team down the stretch.
And
you are selling the hope of the fan base too.
And I think that is one of the big things. So we will get to that coming up next. We'll actually hear from Alex Cora what he said on Jones and Mego. There was no Mego. It was just Jones and Arcand in the interview with him talking about his contract and the kind of discussions or lack thereof he's had with ownership. We'll get to that coming back next. 617-779-7937. Where are you standing on this Red Sox team? Do you think they'll actually make a move? We'll get to that all coming up next. But right now, Joe Braverman's got you with what's trending.
The Rich Keefe Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox opened their series against the Padres last night with a 9-2 loss. San Diego exploded for 9 runs in the 5th inning. 5 of them were earned and charged to Nick Pivetta, who only lasted 4 innings. Was dealt the loss. Rafi Devers did hit his 17th home run of the season, his 3rd consecutive that was over 430 feet. Game 2 of this 3-game set will take place this afternoon. Joe, Will, and Lou have the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck will get the start for the Sox opposite Michael King for the Padres. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. The NHL draft, began last night. Boston University's Macklin Celebrini was selected first overall by the San Jose Sharks. The Bruins had the 25th pick acquired from the Ottawa Senators in the Linus Ullmark trade, and they selected Dean Latorno out of St. Andrews College in Ontario. The 6'7 forward is committed to Boston College for next season. Rounds 2 through 7 will continue today beginning at 11:30. Bees have a pick in the 4th, 5th, and 6th round. The NBA offseason is ramping up. The Atlanta Hawks are trading all-star guard DeJounte Murray to the New Orleans Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., EJ Liddell, Dyson Daniels, and 2 first-round picks. The Mavericks are also trading Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Detroit Pistons for Quentin Grimes. And Emmanuel Quickley is re-signing with the Toronto Raptors for 5 years and $175 million. And the Revolution will look to make it 5 straight matches won when they face the Columbus Crew from Gillette Stadium tonight at 7:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
There's something I told him right before the first pitch in Seattle, that I don't want to talk about the contract.
or whatever situation during the season, respecting the fact that we finished last 2 years. We got to be better. And honestly, like I told you guys a few weeks ago, you know, I'm in a good place. You know, the Cora Felicianos, they love it here in Boston. They love the Red Sox. But at the same time, we feel great where we at, you know, as far as like everything that is going on off the field. My daughter graduates next year. The boys turn 7 in a month. So there's a lot of family stuff going on too, you know, and we'll see what happens.
But if they, we all have a number, right? So if they came to you with a number in season, you don't want to hear it right now?
No, we're not talking about the contract.
That was Alex Cora on with Jones on the Jones and Mego program with Jones and Arcand, talking about his contract with the Boston Red Sox and how he told them before the season, yeah, like, we don't have to worry about doing a contract, and how even if they came to him with a number, everybody has a number, by the way. If they came to him and said, yes, we'll give you 8 for $60 or some ridiculous number like that, yeah, he'd probably take it because it's a crap load of money. But ultimately, Alex Cora is telling you straight up, yeah, like, I told ownership not to give me a contract because they need to prove to me that, like, it's going to be worth my time.
The dynamic of Alex Cora in this market and his relationship with ownership is so interesting.
It's so weird. You have this guy who came in and you won a World Series and you dominated. Like, that was one of the most dominant seasons in this franchise's history when you won that title in 18. Then he gets suspended for the whole cheating shenanigans. Then you bring him back. Even after all that, you, the ownership, choose to bring him back, and since that point have done nothing to support him. Here's Ryan, make it make sense.
Okay.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right,
Would you bring back this guy if you had no intention on winning? You know what kind of manager he is. He's a manager that, as shown by the suspension, willing to win at any cost.
I think that the business model shifted probably sometime after 2018. Again, great season.
Awesome.
Dominated
season.
Everybody. You win a World Series. Alex Cora comes in here and tells the Yankees to suck on it and absolutely run through everybody in the World Series. Well, I think after that season happened and there was, I mean, you just, everyone loved everybody and dogs and cats living together, and it was a great time. And Dave Dombrowski's out there re-signing everybody. We're re-signing Nathan Eovaldi. We're re-signing, they re-signed Nathan Eovaldi, but still hadn't locked up Xander or Mookie for that matter. And I think that for whatever reason, John Henry looked at this and went, wait a minute, why are we now spending all this money again? You know, Dave Dombrowski, you've overstepped the parameters that I have set for you.
God, what I would give for Dave Dombrowski again.
And you're fired, even though you just won us a World Series. So how that fits with Alex Cora, and this is why I say it was interesting. I'm glad you brought it up the way that you did. Where I don't think they ever really, they didn't want to move on from Alex Cora after the Astros stuff all fell out. I think
parameters.
Alex Cora said, no, like, for the interest of, like, my public perception. And
I need to step
everything
away.
I have a punishment that I have to serve. And Alex Cora has said so many times now, like, I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. I needed to be held accountable for making a very, very bad mistake, which he did.
And that's exactly why they labeled it as a mutual parting of ways,
right,
when he did leave.
So, but then they bring him back, and he goes on to, at another point in that interview on the Jones and Mego show, that, you know, his relationship with Craig Breslow, it's growing, and, you know, we're figuring each other out, but we're better than where we were a couple months ago. And the follow-up to that was, well, do you think you could go to John Henry or somebody else in ownership if you had trade deadline concerns? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I talked to them. I don't think that the relationship is, and look, I don't know anything, you know, fun or whatever, but I don't know for sure. But I would think that the relationship between Alex Cora and John Henry is not as strong as he makes it out to be for the main.
Is there even a relationship, Ryan?
No, there's definitely a relationship, right?
That's like, the question.
They don't
bring
him back after the suspension if there's no relationship.
Right, but so what I'm saying, and to make it make sense, Shime, I think that there was a shift in ideology after Dave Dombrowski went buck wild in free agency and brought back all these guys that helped you win a championship. And you know, I think John Henry looked at the Chris Sale extension and was like, I don't like this. He's hurt all the time. He's not available. So who unfortunately ends up getting caught in the wake of that is Alex Cora, who can come here and manage baseball team and have success, but also like wants some sign of like, hey, you believe in us, right? You invest in literally the last 3 years. Ownership has gone, nope, sorry, suck it. You get nothing and you're going to like it. So I think that's what happened. I think that John Henry had this shift in his business ideology, which even extends into this season when Warner is saying we're going to go full throttle and Sam Kennedy is coming on your show, Shime, talking about, oh, it was always so fun and it was always so loud. And John Henry goes, no, shut all that crap down. We're not doing that.
But you get nothing.
But it's so
frustrating. You lose.
It's so frustrating why John Henry, because of like the way that when you kind of lay out the timeline, right? It feels like the Chris Sale contract was an inflection point where he was like, no, we're not doing this anymore. But why? Why? Like you, for 2 decades, you were winning, even though every once in a while you gave out the worst contract on the planet, whether it was Ruzny Castillo or it was Pablo Sandoval or Carl Crawford. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Sometimes you take a big swing and you miss. And that's okay, because then you do hit on guys like Mookie Betts. And you would, in theory, keep them in your building so that you continue to win baseball games and you continue to be good and they continue to be MVP caliber players. And then you go and you win the 4 championships you've won in 20 years. Like, bad contracts happen. Why was it this one? Why was it this moment that John Henry decided, no, we're not going to pay this much on our payroll. We don't want to be in the luxury tax anymore. Chaim, make sure we don't re-sign Mookie Betts. Trade him out of here.
Chaim, you remember, like, when you were a young lad, you were a kid, and you had a toy, and you played with that toy all the time. It was your first toy.
Yeah, the Batmobile
toy. And oh my God, you loved that thing. But then one day, many, many years later, you get another toy. You're like, ooh, this toy is shiny and new. I like this toy. This toy cost me a little more money. I'm going to spend more time with this toy. And then you get another toy. And then you get another toy. And that first toy that you have, it's still a good toy, but it's collecting dust. You don't really take it out anymore. You don't really do anything with it. That's the Red Sox. And his new toys are the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's the PGA
God.
Agreement.
Stop.
It's
no.
Roush Fenway. It's the new soccer team. That's what happened. It was this was the priority until it was not.
Then sell the team. Like, if it's not a priority anymore, then like, what's the point? The point of owning a franchise, as Wick Grosbeck has aptly pointed out, pay us in parades. That's what we want. That's all as a city we ever want. And to be honest, at this point, I believe I am in a crowd of Red Sox fans that love this team and want to see them win. But like, at this point, like, all I'm asking for is competitive games in October.
Your ownership,
like, that's it.
Ownership came out at winter meetings, which is nothing but Red Sox fans.
Oh, and lied straight to our face.
Said, and I quote, it is expensive to have baseball players. And you're going, what? Do you understand?
Yes, they call it a payroll.
The cheapest ticket, I looked this up yesterday, the cheapest tickets in baseball are $35 tickets for the Red Sox. The Red Sox, I should say, the cheapest Red Sox tickets are $35, is double the amount of like all the other teams after that. So for
on top of that, they're hosting
expensive to have baseball players.
Bingo.
On top of that, they're hosting concerts at Fenway every other week when the Red Sox aren't there.
Yep. No, there's money coming in. I understand that.
They have plenty of money to spend.
They're just, I think the whole business model has shifted. And I think, like, one, I think what happened with Dave Dombrowski was a catalyst to this new way of thinking. I think the other thing that happened is Tampa Bay was winning baseball games. They were figuring out a way. They won 100 games a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but
with
they
no
still
payroll.
Don't have a title.
No, I understand that. You don't got to tell me. But they have, with the exception of this last season, they have figured out ways to win. Now, look, I agree with you. Because they don't have any real way of investing. They have to live off of their scouting department and bringing guys in. Which, oh, by the way, when they were ready to move on from Isaiah Campbell, that should have probably told you something, shouldn't it? Oh, the Rays are moving on for a pitcher? What is wrong with him? Because they will take literally anybody and transform them into an incredible player. The other team is the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles are going to have a long stretch of dominance. But as of right now, they have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball because all their players are young. They're all arbitration eligible. I think the only guy making money on the team is Craig Kimbrell and Corbin Burns. So I'm afraid that they look at that model and go, see, we need to develop our young guys. We need to lock up Brian Baio. We need to lock up Sedan Rafaela so we can have these guys here. We can sell Rafaela jerseys, right? Hello? Can we print those? But the problem with that is the Orioles went through, like,
decades of hell.
Decade of like 47 wins, 52 wins.
Well, and
oh, by the way, they had bad contracts in there as well until they finally hit on a couple guys that look like generational talent. I don't know. I keep hearing about the three amigos in AA and Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, and Marcelo Meyer. I don't know if they're going to pan out and be the next coming of like great baseball players to supplant what you have in Devers and
but
Jaron
even if they
Duran.
Are you confident that they'd get re-signed by John Henry and the
oh,
Red
God,
Sox?
God, no.
Exactly.
Absolutely
and like, that's,
not.
That's like the bigger issue. And as you aptly pointed out, it costs the cheapest ticket to get into Fenway is like $35. I know from experience an hour before game time, if I decided I wanted to go over to a Tampa Bay Rays game, I could get a ticket for $6.
Mm-hmm.
I once got two tickets for a total of $6.35. That's with fees.
And it's still...
It's insane!
It's still, like, an average, like, taking the family to a game at Fenway is still one of the most expensive tickets in baseball.
It's and so difficult.
To me, and that's a problem. That's a problem that the Patriots have, too, is you are asking for an exorbitant amount of money to come and watch who?
An absolute
David Hamilton. Like, no offense.
Like a triple-A level product at times.
David Hamilton. No offense to Emmanuel Valdez. No offense to Romy Gonzalez or Willy Abreu or any of the other guys that they have in here. But your bosses are demanding lots of money for tickets and concessions and parking, and the product on the field has not for years, by the way, reflected what the ticket prices is. And so that's why, again, and I made this point on the afternoon show, and I'm going to say it again here. Seth Lugo is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. No question. He is a Cy Young candidate for the Kansas City Royals. Nathan Eovaldi, who's been hurt, is having a good couple of seasons now.
Just won a World Series last year.
In Texas, yes, and they just won a World Series last year as well. If you had signed both those guys to the contracts they have right now, you are still only number 10 in payroll. I think the number, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think the number that they were trying to keep themselves at was around $180 million. Well, if you sign those two guys, you're probably at like 220-something, but you're still only 10th in payroll. Could you imagine where this team would be? And look, I'm happy that Tanner Houck has found success. I'm happy that Cutter Crawford has found success. But I don't think the plan going into the season is like, well, we're going to crew Cooper Criswell every fifth day. Yeah, sure. And then maybe we'll have an opener in Zach Kelly. And, oh, we'll call Josh Winkowski. We'll call him up. If you had a rotation that was something to the effect of Tanner Houck and Nick Pivetta and Nathan Eovaldi and Seth Lugo, oh, Lord, that is a good rotation.
You really only need
a lot of games
one
with
of
those
them.
Guys.
Like, and in a way, like I give them a little bit of a pass for that, just because like originally they had signed Lucas Giolito to fill one of those roles, and unfortunately got injured, and so you kind of got screwed there.
Nobody wanted Lucas Giolito. You know that, right?
He didn't have any other
offers.
I understand, but like at the same time, they got a guy, right? They didn't. It wasn't for lack of trying. They went out and acquired a pitcher who they apparently liked, and unfortunately, he got hurt before the season. So, like, look. I have been critical of this team, but I give them a slight little pass for that one. But like again, all you needed was one of Eovaldi or Lugo, right? You didn't even need both of them. Like, assuming you signed Giolito, you only needed one of them. Mm. You didn't, and you chose to get neither of them. And I understand your criticism of them there, but like at the same time, like I'm not trying to bail the Red Sox out here.
Well, you just said it's not for lack of trying. They didn't try.
Well, they got signed a guy and he got hurt.
They signed a guy with like a 6 ERA that gave up more home runs than anybody last year, who also came out in his opening day press conference. It was like, I didn't have any other offers.
They half-assed tried.
If the Red Sox had not signed Lucas Giolito, he's probably pitching in Japan this year.
Sure, but like they signed it.
Jordan Montgomery was standing outside of Fenway with a boombox over his head, and they're like, I'm sorry, can't hear you. Can you shut the windows?
Yeah, Jordan Montgomery's not that great this year, though.
No, but
so it's okay.
Yeah, because he didn't start until freaking August. I mean, look, Xander Bogaerts was here. Again, I'm happy that Xander Bogaerts got the reception that he got. And it's like, Xander Bogaerts wanted to be here.
Oh, trust me, Justin that I'm mad
Turner,
about.
Justin Turner wanted to be here.
He said just the other day, he's like, yeah, Cora called me and was like, yeah, they're not really going to pay you, man. Yeah. You should probably just like look elsewhere.
And my God, you think having a good bat, a good veteran presence in your lineup, and oh, by the way, a guy that could play second base if you needed him to, because God knows we've rolled out Christian Vasquez and Connor Wong in the past to go play second base. You could throw 39-year-old Justin Turner out there, and oh, by the way, you're still paying him. You're still paying him $9 million in deferred salary to go play for the flipping Blue Jays. Like, I don't understand the business model of Nathan Eovaldi, Justin Turner, and Xander Bogaerts, who all wanted to be here, and you just go, no, 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 because you guys are baseball players, and baseball players cost money. And oh, by the way, and I was talking about during the break, the generational talent that moved in this offseason might never happen again. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, who I never thought they were seriously going to get an offer to, and I was very right about that. But even like Zach Wheeler or I like Shota Imanaga. Like, the point is, there were so many guys that you could have brought in. Just find a guy that your fan base can lock in with. Find a guy that is going to you can move jerseys. Like, it's not rocket science with this team, and they decided to pass on everything. So that's why I will hold you to the fact that, for not lack of trying, they lacked trying. They absolutely lacked trying. That's because and this is why we are where we are right now, as a team that is probably overachieving, is probably overperforming, and can use a lot of help. But God damn it, if they had just done it in the first place and locked up one of these pitchers, or maybe found a right-handed bat, you wouldn't have to do so much work at the trade deadline, which, again, I don't think they're going to do anything at.
617-779-7937 if you want to be on the producer show here with Shime and Donovan. Can we, as a show, like, just make a promise to get rid of that song?
No, it's never going anywhere.
Like, dude,
they're
it
rocking
is,
back and
especially
forth.
When you're losing. Good imagine last night, you let up 9 runs in the 5th inning, and then come, what was it? What is it, the 7th or 8th inning, they play that song? Uh-huh. Sweet Caroline comes on, you're getting absolutely curb stomped. 9-2, please.
Because how about a marriage proposal during that inning break? That legit happened last night. During that inning break, a dude proposed, and she said yes.
Those fans will always be there, though. Those fans will always be there. I don't know how many people there are like you and me, Shime and Joe. I don't know how many people are sitting there going, like, you guys have to do something because you were losing the favor of the fans. Because I still think for every one of us, there is going to be people that load up the station wagon and bring the family down to Fenway, and they don't care that the team isn't spending money, and they don't care that they're letting everybody walk out the door for nothing. By the way, you got nothing for Xander Bogaerts, you got nothing for JD Martinez, you got nothing for Nathan Eovaldi. I question now, like, is it just apathy? Is it just a fun day? Doesn't matter. You know, we'll go, we'll get dinner, and then we'll go watch a game, and who cares, you know, what they do long term? I honestly question how many fans are like, yeah, whatever, who cares? It's fun, something to do.
Final thoughts on the Red Sox and a quick little positive update for you coming up next here on the Producer Show. This is the WEEI Producer Show right here in Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime and Garvin with you this morning. hanging out, talking Sox, getting mad about the Sox.
Talking ball.
Yeah, you know, talking ball, slinging it back and forth.
Gloves, cleats.
Yeah, eating dingers. Seeds. Doing the thing.
Moon shots.
Yep. Luckily, the Red Sox face off against the Padres today. 4:10 first pitch. Joe Castig, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney all on the call today.
Three-man booth.
So many people.
We'll have the pregame for you here at 3:10 as well, right here on the home of the Red Sox, the Shasta Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. So, Ryan, official prediction.
Yeah.
Deadline time.
Yep.
Do the Red Sox do anything? Anything. And I'm telling you, add small, add big. Sell small, sell big, ride the fence where they sell a little, buy a little. Where are you standing?
So I outlined sort of what I thought they were going to do. I think if they could find a taker for some of these expiring contracts, like a Kenley Jansen or even a Chris Martin, I think they would. I think ideally if they could find somebody to take on Masataka Yoshida's contract, I think they would do that in a heartbeat. I think the goal for them, as it stands on June 29th, and they are a game and a half out of the third wild card spot, I think ownership's ideal trade deadline is they move off of some of these guys who are going to be free agents or some contracts they don't like, and they add a couple pieces to the Worcester team or the Portland team that they can kind of stash away. Like that's basically what they did last year, and granted, some of the guys that they got back for Kike Hernandez did pitch because you had already run through your rotation. I mean, they were doing an opener 2 out of every 5 days. So I think in an ideal world, they move on from some of the top end money guys and have some guys that they can stash and go, see the future. Well, you know, again, I will never stop harping on that. We don't want to sacrifice present wins for the future. And yes, I can understand it is pragmatic to have this, you know, big plan and year after year after year, but I live in right now and I want right now to be fun. And
same.
I think if just through a little bit of effort, through a little bit of trying, you can find a guy or two that is going to help this team in not one, send your manager running off screaming to another team, but also not completely, you know, ruining any kind of good feelings that you're the rest of the team has.
It's this crazy thing. You could win now and also win in the future. It's shocking, I know. Apparently Craig Breslow does. I don't know if he realizes that you can do that, but you can, in fact, do that. Now, so we've been pretty negative about the Red Sox all day. I want to get out of here on a couple of positive notes. You know, all we only have an hour program, so you don't have time for everything. So just want to sneak this in before we get out of here. Last night, the NHL draft happened. Your Boston Bruins had a selection, 25th overall. They selected center Dean Letourneau. He is a commit to BC. He's going to be playing right at BC, which is awesome. You'll be able to watch him. This kid, 6'7" right-hand centerman.
That's a tall drink of water.
He is like, he's Tage Thompson.
He can skate.
Like if you go and look at any of the scouting threads on Twitter, which I recommend, like if you're a big hockey nut, go check it out. Kid can move. He can score. He had 127 points in like 66 games. So there's a lot of offensive ability there at St. Andrews College, which is like a prep school in Canada. But we'll be able to watch him right here at BC, so you'll know pretty early on if he's any good or not, since he'll be playing for Boston College. The other note I had to get in here before we get out of here, it is the NHL offseason. Yesterday, rumors are flying that Steven Stamkos declined the offer the Tampa Bay Lightning sent him, which was an 8-year deal worth about $24 million. That's only $3 million annually. Now, I don't know if the Bruins have interest in Steven Stamkos, but I hope they do. I hope that they're keeping their mind open because I personally, even if it's like 3 years for $20 million, so you have to overpay a little bit, but he's only here for a few years because he's really trying to win a cup. I don't want to get too inappropriate. I would have a grand old time if I got to watch him play with David Pastrnak for a season or two.
We keep it FCC compliant when we're talking about Steven Stamkos.
I have to. Stamkos in a Bruins jersey. I could not have bought a Drake May jersey faster when he was drafted by the New England Patriots.
Puck, I'm doing.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you would do.
I may have to purchase a Steven Stamkos jersey even faster. But that'll do it for us here on the Producer Show for Shime and Garvin. Thank you so much for tuning in on this wonderful Saturday morning. Keep it locked right here, though. Ken and Curtis live from Fenway Park coming up next. We'll see you next Saturday.
See ya. Bye, bye, bye. Bye.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here in Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime and Garvin with you this morning. Hanging out, talking socks, getting mad about the socks.
Talking ball.
Yeah, you know, talking ball, slinging it back and forth.
Gloves, cleats.
Yeah, eating dingers. Seeds, doing the thing.
Moon shots.
Yep. Luckily, the Red Sox face off against the Padres today. 4:10 first pitch. Joe Castig, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney all on the call today.
Three-man booth.
So many people.
We'll have the pregame for you here at 3:10 as well, right here on the home of the Red Sox, the Shasta Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. So, Ryan, official prediction.
Yeah.
Deadline time.
Yeah.
Do the Red Sox do anything? And I'm telling you, add small, add big. Sell small, sell big, ride the fence where they sell a little, buy a little. Where are you standing?
So I outlined sort of what I thought they were going to do. I think if they could find a taker for some of these expiring contracts, like a Kenley Jansen or even a Chris Martin, I think they would. I think ideally if they could find somebody to take on Masataka Yoshida's contract, I think they would do that in a heartbeat. I think the goal for them, as it stands on June 29th, and they are a game and a half out of the third wild card spot, I think ownership's ideal trade deadline is they move off of some of these guys who are going to be free agents or some contracts they don't like, and they add a couple pieces to the Worcester team or the Portland team that they can kind of stash away. Like that's basically what they did last year, and granted, some of the guys that they got back for Kike Hernandez did pitch because you had already run through your rotation. I mean, they were doing an opener 2 out of every 5 days. So I think in an ideal world, they move on from some of the top end money guys and have some guys that they can stash and go, see the future. Well, you know, again, I will never stop harping on that. We don't want to sacrifice present wins for the future. And yes, I can understand it is pragmatic to have this, you know, big plan and year after year after year, but I live in right now and I want right now to be fun. And
same.
I think if just through a little bit of effort, through a little bit of trying, you can find a guy or two that is going to help this team in not one, send your manager running off screaming to another team, but also not completely, you know, ruining any kind of good feelings that you're the rest of the team has.
It's this crazy thing. You could win now and also win in the future. It's shocking, I know. Apparently Craig Breslow does. I don't know if he realizes that you can do that, but you can, in fact, do that. Now, so we've been pretty negative about the Red Sox all day. I want to get out of here on a couple positive notes. You know, all we only have an hour program, so you don't have time for everything. So just want to sneak this in before we get out of here. Last night, the NHL draft happened. Your Boston Bruins had a selection, 25th overall. They selected center Dean Letourneau. He is a commit to BC. He's going to be playing right at BC, which is awesome. You'll be able to watch him. This kid, 6'7", right-hand centerman.
That's a tall drink of water.
He is like, he's Tage Thompson.
He can skate.
Like, if you go and look at any of the scouting threads on Twitter, which I recommend, like, if you're a big hockey nut, go check it out. Kid can move. He can score. He had 127 points in, like, 66 games. So there's a lot of offensive ability there at St. Andrews College, which is like a prep school in Canada. But we'll be able to watch him right here at BC, so you'll know pretty early on if he's any good or not, since he'll be playing for Boston College. The other note I had to get in here before we get out of here, it is the NHL offseason. Yesterday, rumors are flying that Steven Stamkos declined the offer the Tampa Bay Lightning sent him, which was an 8-year deal worth about $24 million. That's only $3 million annually. Now, I don't know if the Bruins have interest in Steven Stamkos, but I hope they do. I hope that they're keeping their mind open, because I personally, even if it's like 3 years for $20 million, so you have to overpay a little bit, but he's only here for a couple, like a few years, because he's really trying to win a cup. I don't want to get too inappropriate. I would have a grand old time if I got to watch him play with David Pastrnak for a season or two.
We keep it FCC compliant when we're talking about Steven Stamkos.
I have to. Stamkos in a Bruins jersey. I could not have bought a Drake May jersey faster when he was drafted by the New England Patriots. Yes.
What you would do.
I may have to purchase a Steven Stamkos jersey even faster. But that'll do it for us here on the Producer Show for Scheim and Garvin. Thank you so much for tuning in on this wonderful Saturday morning. Keep it locked right here, though. Ken and Curtis live from Fenway Park coming up next. We'll see you next Saturday.
See ya.